This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. This is the Risalatul Mustarshideen of Harith al-Muhasibi. It's one of the earliest classics of tasawuf. It's been quoted by pretty much, you know, most of the books afterwards. But it's by Harith al-Muhasibi. And he's very well known. He died in 243 Hijri. So you can tell that that's really early. He's before the likes of Ghazali and also before Abu Talib al-Makki, who Ghazali took a lot from. So this is a person who's setting out the path at the time when a lot of this was being developed. So Mustarshid, Irshad, Rushd. Rushd means Hidayah. Irshad means to direct and to grant Hidayah, to give Hidayah, to direct towards Hidayah. Istirshad means to seek Hidayah. It means to seek guidance. Istirshad. And Mustarshid is the person who seeks guidance. Essentially a person on the path who is trying their best to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says this is an epistle to those who are aspirants of the spiritual path. So he starts a lot of the time. The khutbah is very significant, so he starts Alhamdulillah al-awwal al-qadim. All praises to Allah who is the first. Al-qadim, the one without beginning. Al-wahid al-jaleel, the one who is one and majestic. Al-ladhi laysa lahu shabihun wala nadhir, the one who has no resemblance nor any co-equal. Nobody to resemble him, co-equal him. أحمده حمدا يوافي نعمه ويبلغ مدى نعمائه. I praise him. Now we're supposed to praise him. Of course, we're supposed to praise him as much as is his right to be praised. How much is that? How do we praise him that much? Impossible. So generally, what we do is that we employ words that magnify how much we can do. And leave the rest to Allah. So he says, I praise him with a praise that should fulfill the rights of his bounties, that should be equal to his bounties, that should reach the limits of his bounties. That's how much praise I'd like to give him. Wa ashhadu, and I also testify, or I testify that there is no God except Allah. Allah ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika la, alone, without partner. Shahadata alimin birububiyatihi. But this is a testification of an alim, of somebody who is knowledgeable of his lordship. So we're not just doing it as just a casual praise or testification, but I'm testifying in a way that I know, and I am a knower of his lordship. Like I have full knowledge of his, I'm an alim of his rububiyah. That's the kind of testification I'm providing here. So it's full confidence. عَارِفٍ بِوَحْدَانِيَتِهِ, or somebody who fully acknowledges, recognizes, and knows his oneness. So this is not just any ordinary testification that's just said at the spur of the moment or casually. This is serious. This is somebody with great knowledge who's saying this. وَأَشْهَدُ, and I also testify under Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. The reason I'm reading through this is that this teaches us the adab of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we're just used to just simple stuff, you know, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, which is powerful enough. But this is an added nuanced understanding of that, which just shows you that you're invoking a lot more in your mind than you would when you just say la ilaha illallah. When you just say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you are really like committing yourself with this. Istafahu li wahyihi wa khatama bihi anbiya'ahu. So his servant and messenger, who he chose to send his revelation to, and who he sealed the line of the prophets with. meaning he brought him at the end of the line of prophets. وَجَعَلَهُ حُجَّةً عَلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ. And he also made him the hujjah and the proof against all of his creation. How did he make him the proof? The fact that he brought the truth, and hence that is evidence that truth has been brought in this world. That the haqq and the batil has been made clear, the message has reached, has been delivered. لِيَهْلِكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ وَيَحْيَى مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَةٍ. So that those who do perish will perish based on proof. Meaning those who will who will be destroyed in the hereafter, who will not be of the survivors, it will all be based on clear evidence and proof. And likewise, those who will live the eternal life will also live based on evidence. Also, those who live in this world on their faith, they're not living just on something of hearsay. They are living their life based on absolute conviction in what they have, with all the proofs and all of the everything that has been delivered from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very far reaching. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ اِجْتَبَى مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now after discussing the belief aspect, he now starts talking about some cosmic reality. So he says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen from his servants the believers, especially selected them for what? For belief, for closeness to him, for guidance. ذَوِ الْأَلْبَابِ الْعَالِمِينَ بِهِ وَبِأَمْرِهِ. Who are these believing servants? They are the ذَوِ الْأَلْبَابِ. Lubbun is intelligence, like a proper intelligence, true intelligence, not just normal aql. Aql is very general. You can understand useful things, you can understand corrupt things. That's why you have aql salim, which is a sound intelligence that understands what it has to recognize. It's not missing what the points of the hereafter and intelligently understanding everything else. Do you understand? So this is talking about ذُلْ أَلْبَاب, ذَوِلْ أَلْبَاب, أُلُلْ أَلْبَاب, لُبْ, plural is أَلْبَاب, the people of the true sacred intelligence. الْعَالِمِينَ بِهِ, those who are knowers of of him and his commands. So these are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specially selected. May Allah make us truly from among these people. فَوَصَفَهُمْ بِالْوَفَاءِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ الْفَاضِلَةِ وَالْخَوْفِ وَالْخَشْيَةِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala characterizes them, describes them, بِالْوَفَاء, with, what's the best translation for wafa? Being faithful. Because wafa means to fulfill whatever is upon you to do. That's being faithful, right? In a sense, right? وَالْأَخْلَاقِ الْفَاضِلَةِ, an exemplary character. Wal khawfi wal khashya, and they also have fear and they also have reverence. Khashya is also similar to khawf, but it's more of a reverent fear, where you don't run away from the one you fear, but you run to them because you know that that's the sanctuary. Just like a child when it's told off by its mother, then it will run to its mother. If the father tells the child off, in most cases, it'll still run to its mother, right? When the mother tells the child off, it'll run to its mother. In some cases, it's the opposite, and the father is different, right? But generally, this is the case. فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَزَّ وَعَلَى Allah. So hence, the most majestic and high says, إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It's the people with this true, sound understanding who reflect on this, who heed this. Tadhakkur. Tadhakkur means to want to remember, want to understand something, want to reflect. So it's the people of true intellect that heed this. Alladhina yufuna bi ahdillah. It's a verse of the Quran. Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah, who make good the covenant of Allah. وَلَا يَنْقُدُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ, and they do not break the promise or the agreement. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Now this is all a description, but I see in this description an encouragement to be like that. When you hear See, the benefit of somebody being described in a particularly positive way to human beings, what that does is it makes you want to be like them. Because when you praise, when you hear somebody praising someone on something good, it's like, oh, I would like to be like that as well. When you hear somebody criticizing somebody in front of you, then you feel discouraged from that. Feel like, oh, you know, that's not, maybe I do that as well. I shouldn't do that. So that's what I see coming from here. Yes, وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ. Those who tie and link that which Allah has ordered to be linked. All the ties of relationship that need to be linked with your kin, with your blood relatives. Very important. That's, you know, that is so important. It's always mentioned. Have you noticed that? It's always mentioned. Silatul Rahim. Because you see, when you destroy the family nucleus, when you got problems with your uncle, your brother, your sister, then you are basically just the component of the entire society. Then what should stop you from breaking up with others? So this is what they should. Now I know, like, it's not always a smooth ride, is it? I mean, there are issues. Sometimes there's issues with your own people. But I think we should just still try to at least be in touch and not break completely. You don't have to be close. You don't have to be next to each other. You know, you don't have to be always together if you can't handle that. But at least salam, kalam, etc. وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. And they fear their Lord. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. And they are fearful of a painful punishment, a painful accounting, reckoning. So that's basically a characteristic of a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us these characteristics. فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ. All of this comes with it says, what's the verse in the Quran? أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded his chest for Islam. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. He is then on a light from his Lord. His heart is completely expanded. It incorporates all of what the Islamic character should have. His belief is sane and sound. His interaction with others is safe and sound. And his entire headquarters, which is his heart, it's fully expanded in that direction. So whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever's chest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does expand. وَوَصَلَ التَّصْدِيقُ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. And the firm conviction, confirmation, firm belief. Because iman, tasdeeq. Tasdeeq means fully be truthful to something. Whoever this confirmation has reached his heart. وَرَغِبَ فِي الْوَسِيلَةِ إِلَيْهِ. And who is desirous of wanting a path to Allah. To find something that will take him close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To chance upon something that will essentially carry him to Allah. A wasila. A wasila is a means. Right? لَزِمَ مِنْهَاجَ ذَوِي الْأَلْبَابِ بِرِعَايَةِ حُدُودِ الشَّرِيعَةِ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So anybody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded his heart and the confirmation has reached his heart, who's looking for a path to him, then what will he do? This is what is telling us that a person who seeks this should be doing. لَزِمَ مِنْهَاجَ ذَوِي الْأَلْبَابِ. They will be holding fast and adhering to the methodology, the path, the manhaj, right? The methodology, the path of the people with true intellect, the ذَوِي الْأَلْبَابِ. بِرِعَايَةِ حُدُودِ الشَّرِيعَةِ. By being very mindful of the limits of the Sharia from the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah Nabihi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ الْمُهْتَدُونَ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ. See, this is a classical scholar before any Ibn Taymiyyah was around, before any Ghazali was around, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he's saying that also. He's saying the Quran, the Book of Allah, the Sunnah, and that which the guided Imams, those who have been guided among the Imams, have agreed upon. So this is somebody who is writing in the early 200s, right, who is also discussing that idea. And yet they were much closer to the Quran Sunnah in terms of time than we were. They had much more of a chance. Only 200 years had passed since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these people are still taking that into consideration at the time. So what right do people of this time have to say, let's just dismiss everything that has happened in between? All of that was a waste of time. Let's go back to the early ones. Basically recreate a new system. That's what they're doing. We dismiss everything in between. We just go right back. In between, there's Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim that come in. So we'll kind of take them. And there's a few Hanbali scholars in between that we can kind of use a bit. But otherwise, we should go all the way back. Everything for 1300 years is just all been, you know, corrupt. That's essentially what the claim is. There's two approaches to that. One is an approach where they do this by dismissing everything in between, except those few individuals in between, and saying we need to take everything directly. Then there's the other group which respects everything in between but do not think they have to adhere to any in particular. They can go back to the top, reinterpret completely and take some light, some guidance from the people in between. We think all of that is disrespect and a waste of time. And the reason is that for 1400 years, as the Ummah progressed, as the world progressed, things have changed. Yes, there will be certain things that will require some fresh ijtihad, some renewal, some maybe, you know, new ijtihad for the new situations that are there. But otherwise, we are basically, why do we want to dismiss and reinvent the entire wheel? Do we think all of these people were not sincere, not knowledgeable enough, didn't have access to the sources? So that's why. وَهَذَا هُوَ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. This is the straight path. الَّذِي دَعَى إِلَيْهِ عِبَادَهُ, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited His servants to. فَقَالَ جَلَّ وَعَزَّ, جَلَّ وَعَزْ. And hence, even his honorifics to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are well thought out. They're not the normal, okay, Allah ta'ala, Allah jalla jalaluhu, you know, which people will just say as... So in the first one, he says something else, فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَعَلَى, right? The one who's aziz, who's mighty and high. Then here he's got فَقَالَ جَلَّ وَعَزْ instead of عَزَّ وَجَلْ. So he's really... obviously saying this in a very premeditated way. Jal, the one who is majestic and aziz and mighty. Majestic and mighty. And what is the verse? وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. This is my path. Straight. This is my straight path. Follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ. So, and do not follow the other paths. Do not follow the paths. This is my path. There's many other paths. That tells us that Allah is saying that there are other paths. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. Because if you do go onto these other paths, then it will distract you, take you away, and disband you from my path. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ. This is what He advises you, He counsels you, emphasizes to you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you can gain true God-fearingness and taqwa. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Now he's laying out all the foundations. He's laying out all the foundations before he goes into his specific advices. وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. This is the base. So the first part, the first evidence that this ayah that he just read, that this is my path and do not follow other paths. This is proof for what? That you must follow the kitab of Allah. You must follow the way of Allah. That's the proof from the Quran about this. He's using textual evidence. Then he's using again another evidence to prove that you must follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is following Sunnah. عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. Right, which is hadith that's related by Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, many others. هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَلَيْكُمْ, it is necessary for you to hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen after me. That just opens up the scope. Now, he hasn't mentioned that hadith here. There's another hadith which say that although this four, sunnah of Khulafa al-Rashideen min ba'di, although you've got this, that you must follow the four, because he is pretty much guaranteed that nothing is going to happen wrong. They will never legislate anything. He had so much trust in them that they will not legislate anything wrong after me, these four. That's why he said this. Because he says, it is necessary upon you to follow my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen after me. Khulafa, the Khalifs, Rashideen, the rightly guided Khalifs. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. عَضُّ means to bite onto something and hold on to something with your teeth. عَضُّ. It's like to take a good bite. عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِثِ. نَوَاجِثِ, your premolars. So hold fast onto this with your teeth. Like, don't let go. Like, you know, what's the last resort? You've only got your mouth, you know. Once you're holding your hands, you can't do that. You hold with your mouth if you can. It's a hold fast to it. Or if you want to hold fast onto something like with your hands, your body and your mouth. So like that's the extreme. Now he doesn't say four in here, but there's another hadith which says that the khilafah after me will be for 40 years. After that will come mulkun adudun, biting kingships and sovereignty. Those 40 years finished. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, 2.5 years. Umar radiallahu anhu was about 10 or 11 years. Uthman radiallahu anhu was about 12 years. And Ali radiallahu anhu was about 4 to 5 years. And then there were 6 months left. So that's 30 years. 30 years, sorry, 30 years. Is that 30 years? Yeah, that's 30. That should be 30 years. 30 years. There were 6 months left. Hussein radiallahu anhu became the next Khalifa after Ali radiallahu anhu, 6 months, and then he gave it up. Then he went to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and others. So that's why many people want to dismiss, they just call him Amir Muawiyah. Now that's going overboard with it. We won't say that they had the Khilafatul Rashideen, but he still was a good Khalif. He brought a lot of peace back to the Muslim lands afterwards. So based on that hadith, we know who the Khulafa al-Rashideen were. And the fact that, even if you take this into general, that if you do find a Khalifatul al-Khalifa al-Rashid afterwards, even afterwards, then you should hold fast to them. But that has to be then vouchsafed by the ulama of the time. There's, like, for example, if you want to call Umar ibn Abdul Aziz a Khalifa al-Rashid. Generally, a lot of this is generally found in hindsight, unfortunately. Right? People don't recognize at the time sometimes. But either way, then as I said, there was another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned specifically the two after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. Because it says that you can follow what they legislate. This just shows you complete yaqeen and trust over what these people were going to do. So that is the proof for the sunnah. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ فَرِيضَةَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. So how do you fulfill the rights of the book of Allah? Before we go into the sunnah, how do you fulfill the rights of the book of Allah? He says الْعَمَلُ بِحُكْمِهِ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِ. I think we covered a bit of this in the last section, which is to act on, to practice the commands of the Quran based on its commands and prohibitions. So fulfill its commands and abstain from its prohibitions. وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ لِوَعْدِهِ وَوَعِيدِهِ. And to have great hope and fear for the punishments mentioned in the Quran, the warnings mentioned in the Quran, and hope in all the promises that are mentioned in the Quran. As we mentioned, you should listen to that one if you weren't here for that one. It's talking about how to read the Quran. How to read the Quran in terms of understanding its meaning and to focus where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus. Everywhere there's a verse that shows some promise, then you ask for it. Anyway, it's a warning about something or a punishment mentioned, then you seek refuge from it. فإذا والإيمان بمتشابهه, and those aspects of the Quran which are متشابهات, then you just believe in them and you leave them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the hand of Allah and Alif Lam Mim Tasim Mim Yasin etc. والاعتبار بقصصه وأمثاله, and then to take heed and lesson from its stories and the examples and proverbs, the examples and anecdotal evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides in the Quran. فَإِذَا أَتَيْتَ بِذَلِكَ, when you do all of this, فَقَدْ خَرَجْتَ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْجَهْرِ إِلَى نُورِ الْعِلْمِ, that is the only way you can come out of darkness to the nur of ilm. That is the only way you can do that. If you don't read the Quran and you don't take the message of the Quran, then we are in darkness. وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الشَّكِّ إِلَى رَوْحِ الْيَقِينِ, and that is how you will come out of the punishment of being doubtful about things to the satisfaction and luxury of conviction, the comfort you get from having full being fully convinced about somebody. You know, when there's a fitna that takes place, a challenge, a difficulty, and you don't know which way to go in it, right? It's punishment because you don't know which way to go. How do I approach this? Which way do I go with this? Do you understand? When you know, when you've made up your mind and you think it's on guidance, then how comfortable you feel. It doesn't bother you and you can carry on, do other work then. That's basically, now imagine somebody's approach like this to the deen. Unfortunately, many people have absolute ignorance of the deen and they are completely happy about that. So they're even worse off than the person who's doubtful. But those people, they may be happy in general because they're just asleep and they're completely negligent. But whenever something happens in their life, they start feeling extreme difficulty. That's when the darkness just comes onto them. The lights will go off. You know, when somebody doesn't know, they've been in darkness for a very long time. So they learn to basically take tablets, pills, to keep away the darkness, to keep away the feeling of darkness. So they stay elated. That's by doing haram things. Generally, that's what we're doing. You see so many people, but then every few weeks or something's going to happen that's going to make them remember and they're going to feel really bad. Then they're going to have to find some other way to get back into sleep again. Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody who's not very practicing, who doesn't know much about the Quran or whatever the case is, you don't see that they're in some kind of darkness. They seem to be enjoying their life. They're mashallah, just not mashallah, but they are just, well, it is mashallah, whatever Allah wills, right? They're doing what we think mashallah is just positive. Like, mashallah, it's whatever Allah wills, right? It could be negative, right? In the apparent sense of it. So you see a lot of people, they are just enjoying their life, high flying, whatever the case is. No, but the darkness you'll feel inside. I just dealt with a case, a guy who is not getting along with his parents and whatever the case is. Very convinced about his approach. Like, so convinced. He feels his parents are completely against his wife and he's taken full on his wife. He's completely wants to disregard his parents and everything like that. And you'd think that he's taken this very firm approach where he feels very confident about it. But when you probe deeper, he is not happy at all. He is not happy at all. So that is the problem with taking firm decisions to live a wrongful life. On the apparent side of it, you may be enjoying it, but inside you will be deeply troubled. So now when this guy gets deeply troubled, that's when this darkness suddenly comes, because you wake up to reality. You're not under your influence of drugs right now. That's how these people, alcohol and all that, that's what they have to stay in that state. Then they become fully alcoholic, because it's the only way they can live their life. There's so many people like that. Outside they may be high flyers, but then they have to go into drugs. All of these celebrities, look how many of them have died from drug overdoses, because their whole euphoria is wrong. Where they're getting their whole, enjoyment in their life is completely in the wrong direction. Now the person who's trying in between, right, who's not found it yet, then he's going to feel the punishment because he's got nothing to numb his punishment. But there's more hope for this person because he's in that punishment of doubt. There's more hope that he will come right. Whereas the person who's constantly taking tranquilizers and, constantly taking drugs and drink and just other enjoyments, they're never going to come to this side because they have found another way to placate themselves, which is for short term only. So that's what he's talking about. قال الله عز قال الله جل ذكره Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose remembrance is majestic, says, Allah is waliyul ladina amanu. That's one of the verses that we read. Allah is the friend, caretaker. Allah is the friend, the guardian of those who believe. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, and he extracts them from the darknesses to the light. وَإِنَّمَا يُمَيَّزُ ذَلِكَ يُمَيِّزُ ذَلِكَ وَيَرْغَبُ فِيهِ أَهْلُ الْعَقْلِ عَنِ اللَّهِ, and the only person who's going to be able to make a distinction between these things are the people who have intelligence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا فِي أَحْكَامِ الظَّاهِرِ فِي أَحْكَامِ الظَّاهِرِ, those who practice to make firm their outside and external aspects. وَتَنَزَّهُ عَنِ الشُّبَهِ, and who abstain from doubtful matters, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الْحَلَالُ بَيِّنٌ وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّنٌ, halal is clear and the haram is clear, but between them are matters of doubt. تَرْكُهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَخْذِهَا, whose abandonment is superior than to get involved in those doubtful matters. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this firm understanding, grant us the comfort of iman and conviction, and take us away from any doubt, all the fitnas that may surround us. Allah, give us a full understanding of them. And one of the very powerful du'as in that regard is, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba, which means, oh Allah, show me the truth as the truth and allow me to follow it, and show me the wrong as the wrong and allow me to abstain from it. That helps a lot to get a good insight into these things. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Oh Allah, we ask for your mercy. Oh Allah, we ask for your compassion. Oh Allah, we ask for your blessing. Oh Allah, especially after the month of Ramadan has gone from us. Oh Allah, we know that you are still there. We know that you still require our worship. But oh Allah, we ask for your assistance in this regard. Oh Allah, we ask for your assistance in this regard. Oh Allah, our gathering here, we ask you to accept it. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive all of us here. Oh Allah, we are self-confessing sinners. Oh Allah, there is no need for you to establish any proof against us. Oh Allah, we self-confess that we have been sinful. We have transgressed. Oh Allah, we have been negligent. Oh Allah, we have been occupied with many other things. We have occupied ourselves with things to make us forget about you and forget about your remembrance. Oh Allah, we are so heedless and so negligent. Oh Allah, this month of Ramadan was an absolute blessing. We ask you for special strength after it. We ask you for special strength for the next 11 months that are there. Oh Allah, we ask that you take us over and over again to your Haramain. Oh Allah, we ask that you accept us to be of those who are chosen to come to your Haramain. Oh Allah, make that path easy for all of us. Oh Allah, we ask you for the full acceptance of our Ramadan deeds and for the continuation of them afterwards. Oh Allah, we ask you for strength against the shaitan. We ask you for wilayah, your closeness. Oh Allah, accept us. Oh Allah, accept us. Oh Allah, accept us. Oh Allah, we know we don't have enough to We don't have enough to express to you and to show to you. But oh Allah, we know that you're merciful. And we know that your mercy is expansive enough to include forgiveness for our sins. Oh Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you for complete forgiveness. We ask you for forgiveness from all of those sins that have brought difficulties in our lives, that has taken away the mercy, that has become an obstacle for the mercy reaching us. Oh Allah, we ask you to help us and to help our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world. Oh Allah, accept all of us for your closeness. Oh Allah, the words that have been recited, read today. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us the full ability to fulfill them. Oh Allah, to be true believers, to be characterized by the same things that have been that you have characterized your believers as being. Oh Allah, we ask you for special strength in this regard. We ask you to bless our parents, our children, our students, our teachers, our relatives. Oh Allah, the entire Muslim world, the entire Muslim world needs your help. Oh Allah, accept all of our deeds and make further good deeds beneficial for us. Grant us the abstinence from bad deeds. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to stay away from bad deeds. Oh Allah, remove our illnesses, both our external and internal illnesses. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, accept our du'as and grant us the barakah of the grant us the barakah of these majalis and these gatherings that we sit in. Oh Allah, though we are very weak in this regard, we ask you for complete acceptance. Oh Allah, we ask you for complete acceptance. It's not much of a sacrifice. Even our coming here and our gathering here is purely out of your generosity. Oh Allah, we have no right to even ask you for a reward for this, but we can only thank you and be grateful to you for what you have given us. Oh Allah, we are grateful for what you have given us, and we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you for forgiveness for any shortcoming in this regard. Oh Allah, accept this from all of us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.